Once you enter this family, there's no getting out.
There's been a lot of lying in this family.
And a lot of love.
More lies.
And I met this girl, so I invited her here. Is that okay?
No.
Maybe you can just accept who I am and love me anyway.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Family therapy? What the hell is this?
You said we were going out for frosty chocolate milkshakes.
Once you enter this family, there's no getting out.
Families, can't live with them, can't live without them. The changing and unchanging facets of the American family are focus every Monday. This morning, how are kids a lens on social transformations taking place far beyond the family living room? Say, the issue of race. Friend of The Takeaway, Jeremy Adam Smith, joins us now to talk about his son and pose a provocative question. Is it possible that we unconsciously raise our babies to be racist? Jeremy, you're the author of Daddy Shift, How Stay-at-Home Dads, Breadwinning Moms, and Shared Parenting Are Transforming the American Family, joins us, and you are a dude from San Francisco, California, live this morning. Jeremy, thanks for being a part of the program.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Now, how did you come to this question? Are babies, are young kids born to be racist, and are we responsible as parents in some sense?
Well, I work at something called the Greater Good Science Center at UC Berkeley, and we've seen a wave of research suggesting that human beings are hardwired to notice racial difference and to actually react negatively to it, for a part of the brain called the amygdala to go into high alert when we notice racial difference.
And how has this been expressed in your own family?
Well, you know, I think that you know, we're a multiracial family. My wife is of Chinese descent.
Right.
My son's name is Liko Waikonaela Smith Du. And, you know, and we live in the city. We live in San Francisco. And my son rides public transportation. He has playmates of all colors. And I think for his first 3 years, that was irrelevant to him. But then when he was about 4 years old, he started asking questions. You know, for example, one day we were watching a pickup basketball game. And he turned to me and he said very thoughtfully, "You know, Daddy, do only black kids play basketball?" And, you know, being a good white liberal, my stomach clenched with anxiety and, you know, my palms started sweating. And I was like, oh, my God, my son is asking about race. What am I going to say to him? And, you know, I remembered this line of research that we had been reviewing. And I realized that, you know, for our son, you know, he's noticing, he's in a stage of his life when for a preschool age child, when he's noticing differences all the time and always asking about them. Hair color, gender, eye color, why are the drinks over here in the convenience store and not over here? You know, all of these things. He's making sense of his world, and this is just one question that he has in a series of questions.
Now, it's interesting what you're describing here, because on the one hand, you've got a child asking totally legitimate questions about why are there these differences in the world, but you also have popular culture, the external world, answering some of those questions by the patterns that a child picks up. And the parent, it seems to me, is in the middle here, attempting to decode and translate and encourage kids to maybe push out of their comfort zone and question some of the things that they're seeing. How do you do that?
Well, you know, I think that the most important thing is to really allow your child to set the pace with their questions. You know, your child is going to ask questions when they are ready to ask questions. And so it's not a good idea to try to lead them too much. It's not a good idea to try to instill fear, you know, to try to talk about race in a way that might trigger feelings of fear or anxiety. You know, you really have to wait for them to ask the questions. And then you have to treat the questions like they're normal. You know, you can't say it's wrong to ask about race. You can't say it's wrong to notice race. You have to really take it at face value, because our children don't think about race and racism the way we do as adults. You know, they're really trying to understand their world. And if you approach it from that perspective, and if you answer their questions in a way that's thoughtful and in a way that, you know, tries to make the world a better place, then, you know, research shows that it has really good results for kids developmentally.
Jeremy, this is Farai. I'm not going to question the science that you bring up about perhaps an initial negative reaction to racial differences. But when I've seen kids in different contexts, I notice that the affiliations that seem very strong on, say, a playground or in a classroom, they can be very different, you know, style of play, you know, whether kids like to roughhouse. Some kids don't. Some kids do. They split off that way. In schools where you have a lot of immigrants, I've noticed that you can have kids who did not speak English in the home clumping together, regardless of what part of the world they come from, and kids who speak English in the home clumping together, regardless of what kind of ethnicity they are. I mean, you know, on a broad spectrum, how important is race to young kids?
Yeah. Well, you know, I one day I was picking up my son at preschool. He goes to the Jewish Community Center here in San Francisco, and a lot of his most of his classmates are Jewish, but there's also a substantial number who are half Asian, half white. You know, that describes my own family as well as a lot of families there. And I went to pick him up at preschool one day, and I saw the white boys, you know, off to one side hanging out. I saw the white girls off to one side hanging out, and I didn't see my son at first. And then I looked over, and there he was with the other half Asian kids. You know, they were all hanging out. And then a week later, we met with his teacher, and you know, she was describing his playmates, who he liked to play with at school, and I realized that they all shared his racial mix. And, you know, I think that, you know, that was a little bit alarming for me. But again, I remembered this research. And, you know, children as young as 4 years old will start sorting themselves according to race, not just race, but other differences as well. You know, for example, gender, that's a big one. And that's normal, you know. That's normal and healthy. And I think that my attitude.
We got to be careful, because then you're saying it's abnormal to mix. It's abnormal to be integrated.
No, it's not abnormal at all. I mean, you know, I think that it's part of a process. That's how you have to see it. You know, our children are not born knowing how to say please and thank you. They're not born knowing that you can't hit the table in a restaurant. You know, there's a lot of things that just don't come naturally. And we teach them. We socialize them. That's our job as parents, you know. And you know that it's very important to sort of guide them through their social world and help them to grow as people. And I think a big part of you know, being a parent and helping your kids to negotiate race is helping them to notice racial difference, but also teaching them that prejudice is wrong. Well, and that it's good to try to reach across racial lines and try to build those social bonds.
Well, you certainly set out a course for yourself. Jeremy Adam Smith, you are editing a book for Beacon Press called Are We Born Racists? I gather you're comfortable with answering angry emails.
Yeah, we are comfortable with that.
Yeah, and that's what you intend in this book.
Well, you know, when this first wave of neuroscience research started coming out that showed that the brain switched on to high alert when it noticed racial differences, there was a tendency to say, oh, my God, we're born racist. You know, this is terrible news. You know, we've revealed the true nature of humanity, and that nature is savage and hateful. But then there was another wave of research beyond that, where they discovered, for example, that the longer you were exposed to racial difference, the calmer your mind became. So in other words, you know, it wasn't, you know, we might initially react negatively to that racial difference, but just through exposure, through contact, we gradually became less prejudiced. Mm. And sometimes this contact, you know, it was just a matter of minutes. You know, we're talking about milliseconds and minutes here. And, you know, so what the second wave of research revealed is that we also have something, you know, there's a part of the brain called the amygdala. Sometimes it's called the reptile part of the brain. It's a very animal part of the brain. That's the part that's lighting up when people see racial difference.
Well, everyone knows that the reptiles are terribly racist. Unfortunately, we have to go right at this moment. But to Jeremy Adam Smith, author of Daddy Shift, How Stay-at-Home Dads, Breadwinner Moms, and Shared Parenting Are Transforming the American Family. Jeremy also writes the blog Daddy Dialectic. And thanks so much for inaugurating our first family segment here on The Takeaway. Thanks, Jeremy.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
With Farai Chidea, I'm John Hockenberry, and this is
The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.